This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
You know, God's time is lousy, in my opinion. You'll understand why I'm saying that. God's timing is not our timing, you know. If I was to dictate to God what the time would be, it would suit me down to the ground. If any one of you were to dictate God's time, it would suit you right down to the ground. But you know, God's timing is in our opinion, my opinion anyway, pretty lousy, but it's the best. God knows us. He knows us like nobody else knows us. And now is the time. Now is the time. Today is that we want to put off. We want to procrastinate. We want to say, I'll just get things together, get the cupboard all cleaned up, as we've heard already from the Lord, and stuff it all in there. And okay, now God. And he comes at just the right time. Last week I read out a psalm. I was just really moved by it, and it was Psalm 46, and I just want to share some things. Things are actually going to get worse. I was saying that with a smile because it's God's timing. God says arise when things start going wrong. God actually brings those things about or allows those things to happen because our dependence is not going to be on us getting it all together, us getting it right, us getting strong enough, us getting smart enough. You know, it says in the book of Daniel, Daniel's given this revelation of the end times, and he sees all these incredible and terrible things happening, and God says to write what he's seen and seal it, and write it in the book and seal it up. He says that the end times are coming. He says that many are going to run to and fro and that knowledge will increase. Well, man, we're in that time. Have we ever been in a time where people are able to go to and fro throughout the whole earth and the knowledge explosion is just out there, isn't it? You can get a hold of any knowledge, any time, from anywhere. It's an incredible thing. In older days, you'd have to go to special places to get certain knowledge, but now you can tap into it right where you are, find out anything you want to know. But I think that's gripped our age. There's people running to and fro, and they're searching for lots of different things, and what we don't realise is what God has for us is right here and right now. So Psalm 46 says this. It says, God is our refuge and strength. How many are feeling that you're at the end of your strength? That you're at the end of your tether? That your strength is packing it in? Well, praise God, because God wants to show you something. He wants to reveal something to you and to me that he has. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many are in trouble? Hallelujah. You're in a good place. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled. When the Bible talks about the waters, the seas being troubled, it's talking about the mass of humanity. And boy, is there a lot of that. And though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. Where is the city of God? It's going to come down from heaven, but where is it right now? Yeah, we are. We're the city of God. And there's a river whose streams will make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Well, that's what the Bible says. Don't you know that your body is the tabernacle, the house of God, of the Holy Spirit? Individually and corporately, we are the house of God. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway of heaven. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about that? We're to pray, your kingdom come down on earth just like it is in heaven. Well, who's going to do it? Anybody else? We're the gateway. We have been given the keys of the kingdom of what? Heaven. We've been given them. Well, the devil is very upset about that. And he's going to try to stop you. All right, so if we're the gateway, we're the house, we have the keys, well, do you think the devil might know where to attack? Yeah, that's right. So this psalm, I better get onto it. There's a river, there's a stream, there's a river, and it will make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of Most High. That's us, that's you and me. We have the keys, we're the gateway to bring heaven down on earth. And there's something in my prayer time now to actually believe that the kingdom of God's going to come on earth. Can you believe with me? How many have that heart? How many have been affected by hopelessness? I've had that. Yeah, all of us, haven't we? You know, regrets and all those things. Oh, I remember praying so hard. I remember believing for that, but this happened. Man. And then that happened. And then this suddenly broke out in my life. And I was pressing into to believe for God's kingdom to come on earth just like it is in heaven. Not a little, a lesser degree, but just like it is in heaven. That's how he told us how to pray. So if God's going to tell us how to pray, we better pray believing. So the holy place, tabernacle of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Well, I've been moved. I've been shaken. I've been troubled. I've been rattled. I've got my eyes off of God again, and oh, why are these things happening to me? Why is that happening to me? And I started to complain. I started to, oh, poor me. Woe is me. Who can I blame? It's you lot. It's you lot. You're the ones to blame. If only you'd done this or done that, everything would be fine. And so I got my eyes off of heaven. Suddenly I've actually got the key, my own mouth and my own heart, and I just locked the door. Heaven can't come down on earth when I'm busy blaming you lot. You're a wonderful lot, by the way. But I have to admit, and I guess we're all the same, aren't we? That's the struggle. Yes. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This is God's word to us. God shall help her. He shall help you and me just at the break of dawn. Don't you love that? We got over our bed, haven't we, Bev? It's always darkest just before the break of dawn. And you've got this picture there, and you just see the dawn is starting to break. Hallelujah. It's always darkest before the break of dawn, but God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. We're seeing that happening now, and it's not going to get better. The kingdoms were moved. God is shaking everything. He's the one that said, I'm going to do it. Don't worry about what the devil's doing. God's doing it. He's shaking everything. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth in this generation. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, and the earth what melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear into all the weapons of warfare. He's able to break them, tanks, whatever it is. He is able to break them. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. How's he going to do that? He's going to do that through you and me. He's going to do that through his church, which is going to manifest his wisdom and his glory to the whole earth, because God promised it. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's repeated again. It says that in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our what? Refuge. And it repeats that again right at the end. So the verse I want to focus on there, it says, be still and know. Okay, have you ever been told to be still by anybody? Or what do we say? Shut up or be quiet. Be still. All right. Well, I'd like to put this. If God says in the midst of all this shaking, in the midst of the mountains falling into the sea, the waves roaring, the nations raging, and all this turmoil, all this upheaval going on everywhere because God's shaking it, in the middle of that, he says, be still. Be still. Well, I've found in my life, just naturally speaking, I cannot be still unless I have a place of absolute security to go to. I can't be still. It's dependent on something. It's dependent on me getting to my strong tower or my safe refuge or my place of safety where I feel secure. Well, he's saying, be still. And what I would like to say to you is there is only one place that we can be still, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a couple of stories in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to quickly refer to them. I think you all know them. If you want to read the story of Exodus, and you get to Exodus chapter 14, and we know that God has been delivering his people out of Egypt. He's brought them out of this place of bondage, and he's led them out, and they've come to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is there, and then suddenly find out the Egyptians have changed their mind. King Pharaoh, the king, has got all his army together, and he's chasing after them. He says, I'm going to either wipe them out or drag them back into slavery. As he's after them, and the Israelites see him coming with all of his chariots and the horsemen and the soldiers coming onto him, and there's a Red Sea in front of them. They can't go anywhere. They're between a rock and a hard place, and they're crying out, what do we do? And in fact, they start blaming Moses. Why have you led us out into this wilderness to kill us here? It would have been better if we died back in Egypt. We should go back and just submit to them again. And so what Moses says, and I just want to read it out to you in Exodus chapter 14. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. How many times are we afraid? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You shall be quiet, be still, and be quiet. You shall just stand, and you're going to see my mighty arm bared. That's my testimony. When I heard about all that Jesus Christ had done for me, the Bible says, while I was a sinner, while I had no strength whatsoever to do anything for myself, and I knew it, I heard about a God who loves me so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that if I would believe in him, not do, you know, shout hallelujah 100 times or come to church 15 times or pray. No, if I would believe in him, what's that? Believe in what he has done. Jesus came, took all of my sins, all of my weaknesses, all of my infirmities, all of my diseases, and he went to the cross and received the punishment for all of my sins. And God says, can you believe it? Will you receive it? Will you receive me? I said, I got nothing to offer you. He says, I just want all of you. I got nothing to give you. He says, I just want all of you. I want your whole heart. I said, you did all that for me. But Lord, I did this, I did that. I broke every one of your laws. He said, I love you. Lord, what can I do but just surrender to you? And the absolute joy of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into my life and saying, David, I'm going to lead you from now on. Wow. God's with me. God is with me. Isn't that out every one of our testimonies? When we first heard about Jesus, asked him to be Lord of our life, I said, I'm going to follow you. And then it gets on. And so they stood still, and you know the story. God parts the Red Sea. They walk through on dry land with a wall of water on the right hand, a wall of water on the left hand. They walk right the way through, get to the other side, and then Pharaoh and his army said, we're still going after them, and they go through, and suddenly Moses stretched out his hand again, and the waters come back and destroyed them all, and they never saw them again. And man, were there. Were they rejoicing? Miriam gets a tambourine. You want to be a Miriam June? And she starts leading all the women. They're jumping up and down. They're singing the song, you know, the Lord has triumphed mightily. The horse and the rider, he's thrown into the sea. They were so full of joy, so full of just thankfulness. The whole place exploded, praising God, thanking God. Freedom, liberty, joy. That's what comes from being a place of absolute security and refuge. And our place is a person. It's the Lord. It's a person. You know what it says in Jeremiah chapter 50? He's talking about, he says, my people have forgotten their resting place. Do you know where real confidence, it comes from knowing him. Confidence comes from knowing a person. You can know everything there is to know about God, but it's not going to give you confidence. It's not going to give you security. It's actually connecting with him heart to heart and knowing that he is with you. The Lord is with me, one of the prophets says, as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, I will not fear. I can't fear. And I always remember that when you're all praying for me, that time when I was in India, you know, and roadblocks all around the town, the police are looking for me, the RSS are looking for me, and I'm hiding in the bush, and oh man, what's going on here? And I'm opening the scripture and reading, you know, start this good time to start crying out to God and praying, and he shows me this scripture where God says, I am with you, I'm holding you by my right hand. I'm talking about a person. I'm talking about a person, an incredible person saying, I'm holding you by my right hand. And this incredible sense of, I'm just putting my hand up like this. And thank you, God, you're holding me. How can I fear? But what got me, what broke the fear in my heart, the fear of man, the fear of what they might do to me. What are they going to do if they catch me? What if they kill? I just heard about there was an Australian guy and his son burnt to death in a car just north of where we were a year or so before. And so all these thoughts, amazing how quickly they come to your mind. And I'm thinking all of this, and then I'm reading what God says, what this incredible God who knows each one of us, knows, as we've heard already, knows everything in our life, loves us anyway. And I'm reading what he is saying to me. He says, I am with you, David. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? I had to be rebuked over the fear of man that was in my heart. And when I realized that I got this mental picture of what I had done, I said, God's with me. We're walking hand in hand. God's with Jesus. It's with me. You know, I can do all things through Christ. It's a person with me who strengthens me. I can do all things. And that's spoken in Philippians when it says, I can go without and I can go with heaps. I can be in a dire circumstances, beaten, whipped, and in a prison. I can do that because Christ is with me. He gives me, this person gives me strength. And so I got this picture of what I had done when I'd focused on what man, or I thought man was saying, fear of man. I said, God, I turn my back on you. Because you're not big enough for this circumstance. You're not big enough for this. And I realized what I had done. I turned my back on the God who created the heavens and the earth, breathed it out of his mouth, holds everything together by the word of his power, turned my back on him. This is more important than you. This is bigger than you. And all I could look at is this. God, can't you see this? Can't you see? He said, well, of course he can see it. He's standing right behind me. He knows everything. And I realized I had to get my focus back, I had to turn back to where my strength was. It was a person. It's no good me standing here. Look at that, God. Look, I know you're the King of Kings, and I know you can do this, and I know you can do that. I know all about you, but he's behind my back. You know, we can know all about Scripture, but we don't believe it. We don't walk in it. Len McGee was a musician that I knew when I first got born again and saved. And he wrote this song, and the words to this song were about a generation that's so caught up in what we're doing, rushing in what we're doing, and that's more so now. But the words of this song were this. It said, stop and think, man. Stand and ponder. Stop your rush. Consider why God's son Jesus should die there yonder, shunned, ignored by you and I. When we look to the cross, we look to what God has done for us and realize that if God didn't spare his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of every single one of us, laid it on Jesus Christ, and he bore the penalty for it so that we could go free, that we could come back into a relationship with God, cleansed of all of our sin, and walk with him. How can we ignore that? How can we get so caught up with what's happening in the world? Because there's going to be more stuff happening because God's shaking everything. Why? Because he loves every single person. You know, we could stop that, stop this. Well, the Bible says this, unless God's judgments are in the earth, the people of the earth will not learn righteousness. What will we do? If we got everything wonderful, we'll say, oh, aren't we good? We've got it all together. And we'll just continue on as we are. And when we die, of course God will accept us because I'm a pretty good person. And what happens? They go straight to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, never ending. Man, and for us to sit by and not tell people the reality of our circumstances. Praise God that his judgments are in the earth and you and I are alive at this time. This is an awesome time to be alive. Awesome time. The ends of the earth, the ends of the ages are resting on us right now, right here, right at this time. And the Bible says it's time for us to put on strength. Put on strength. Put it on. It's Jesus. He is our strength. I'm not going to even get to the next one because I've just talked about how we're saved to get into that place of absolute security and to know God. Be still and know. You can only be still in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can only know God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And then he said to Philip, was it Philip? Was it Philip? I'm trying to remember who it was. Anyway, one of the disciples that said, Lord, show us the Father, and that's all we'll need. And he said, Philip, don't you know when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? If you know me, you know the Father. How many of us, this is what I want to lay down. You have a relationship with the King of Glory. You're walking with him and he's walking with you. You are in him and he is in you. How often do we not recognize or acknowledge that he's in us? You know, I got a revelation of the power of God, the awesomeness of God, at one of the worst times of my life. You know, here I'm being hunted and hounded and think, oh, that's a terrible item. But praise God, I found out in that circumstance, God's more than enough. He's much more than enough. Much more than enough. He will never leave or forsake me. He's with me as a mighty, awesome one. And it's in those places that we learn that he's with us. Because he is with us. So often we just don't acknowledge him, recognize that he's there. We're like those two disciples, you know, after Jesus died and they're walking on the road to Emmaus. Oh, they're so full of, oh, poor us. Oh, man, we had such hope that everything was going to come good and that this Jesus was going to make everything right, and he's just been killed. And what Jesus is there, risen from the dead, and he's walking, and they didn't even recognize him. And he comes up to them. What kind of a conversation are you guys having? You're walking along, you're so sad. They go, oh, who are you? Don't you know what's just happened around here? That Jesus of Nazareth, he just got crucified by our religious leaders, and we were hoping, their hopes dashed, we were hoping he was the one that was going to make everything hunky-dory. He was going to sort everything out. He was going to solve all our problems, make sure we had enough food, heal all our diseases, and that's all we need. No, it's in here, isn't it? King of glory. And so what he opens the scriptures to them, their hearts start burning. We need to just think about Jesus Christ, why he went to the cross, what he wants to have a relationship with each one of us. He is with us. We need to acknowledge him.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.